Well, hello again, everyone. Welcome to this edition of our EA Church Online. We're so glad to have you with us. Here we are just 1 week into the new year, and I really like the feeling that comes with this time of year, of getting a clean slate, of making a fresh start, of thinking what's going to be in my life for the next 365 days, and just to plan and prepare. And I think a lot of you are like me, that you take time to do some personal evaluation. You know, are we where we want to be physically and emotionally and spiritually? Are we as close to God and as our family as we want to be, as we need to be? This is also a great time to allow God to do something new in our life. And God is the God of the new. And He can make a new you in the new year. In fact, did you know that right now, whether you know it or not, you are a new person? According to scientists at White Laboratories, they discovered that 98% of the atoms that are in your body today were not there 365 days ago. So you are literally not the same person you were this time last year. And a lot of things can happen in a year, can't they? Some of you have welcomed new family members into your life last year. Some of you have had to say goodbye to loved ones. Some of you have switched jobs, said hello to new wrinkles, or faced some sickness or hardships. Some of you have started attending our church here this past year, and we thank God for you. Some of you have given your lives to Christ, or you've been baptized, or filled with the Spirit, or made some new commitment to the Lord concerning your life, and that's awesome. And last week, I began a new series called Otherworldly. Now, that's scientifically sounded, but it means relating to or resembling that of a world other than the actual world. It sounds alien-like, doesn't it? But I'll just remind you that the Apostle Peter said that we are aliens and strangers in this world, and that's who we're supposed to be as Christians. We are in this world, and we are not of it. And I get that saying, and you've heard it, but it comes from John chapter 17, where Jesus is praying for his disciples. And part of that narrative says this: my prayer, this is Jesus praying, he says, my prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you have sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. And so we've heard that many times. As a Christian, we are otherworldly. We're in this world, but we're not really of it. We're from another world. We're headed to another place. And you say, well, what does that look like? Well, it looks a lot like a boat in the water. You know, the boat is designed to float on the water, to be in the water, surrounded by the water. But it's not a good thing when water gets in the boat. We know that. Our goal as followers of Christ is to engage our culture, whatever it is, with the gospel of Christ, without allowing the evil aspects of the culture to infiltrate our lives. And so last week's big takeaway was the wisest decision you can make is to seek God's wisdom for every decision. And God has given us the power to choose. We know that. The choices we make are literally choosing life, choosing wholeness, choosing closeness to God who made us and sent his son to redeem us. And there are choices that we make that also can literally be choosing damage, destruction, despair, all of those things. Joshua challenged Israel, choose this day whom you will serve. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. A couple hundred years later, in Mount Carmel, Elijah went before the people and said, how long will you waver between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. If Baal is God, follow him. When God brought Israel out of Egypt, he gave them a similar choice. He said, I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life that both you and your descendants may live. So today, in the follow-up to that message, I want to talk about something that's described as sometimes it flies, sometimes it crawls, but it always passes. We mark it, save it, waste it, race against it. We measure it incessantly with passion for precision. We are blessed with it and obsessed with it, and we never seem to have enough of it. And what I'm talking about is time. One of the most important buildings in the world sits in a perfectly circular, well-guarded park in Northwest Washington, D.C. It's a nondescript concrete building on the grounds of the U.S. Naval Observatory, and it houses the nerve center for the U.S. Directorate of Time. Behind its well-guarded barred windows sit 28 atomic clocks. Four of these clocks hold atoms of hydrogen, 24 hold atoms of cesium. Laser beams and microwave beams are fired at these clocks, causing the atoms to pulsate with incredible regular vibration, and the results are measured by a computer, and every second they are fed into America's master clock. Those measurements, in turn, become the basis for all timekeeping in the United States, and those measurements are sent to the International Bureau of Weights and Measures just outside of Paris, which keeps the world on time. Big deal. What we know and now call standard time came about because of the railroads. When they began to publish schedules for the first time in 1883, our country was divided into four time zones. Time became very important. And nothing will teach you the value of time more than when you are in a situation where you think you're just about out of time. When a person finds out they have a terminal illness, the first question they always seem to ask is, how much time do I have left? And honestly, none of us really have the answer. Doctors have guessed many times. I've said, well, you only have a month. And I've heard of people that go on to live a couple years. So our time is in God's hands. None of you remember the song, some of you old timers like me, The Cat's in the Cradle by Harry Chapin. I wish I could pull out a guitar right now and sing it for you. But let me just tell you the words. It goes, my child arrived just the other day. He came to the world in the usual way, but there were planes to catch and bills to pay. He learned to walk while I was away. He was talking before I knew it, and as he grew, he said, I'm going to be like you, Dad. You know I'm going to be like you. My son turned 10 just the other day. He said, thanks for the ball. Now come on, let's play. Can you teach me to throw? I said, not today. I've got a lot to do. He said, that's okay. And he walked away and he smiled and he said, you know I'm going to be like you, Dad. You know I'm going to be like you. The final verse says, I've long since retired and my son's moved away. I called him up just the other day and I said, I'd like to see you if you don't mind. He said, I'd love to, Dad, if I could find the time. You see, my new job's a hassle and the kids got the flu, but it's sure nice talking to you, Dad. It's been real nice talking to you. And as I hung up the phone, it occurred to me he'd grown up just like me. My boy was just like me. Now, there are a few lessons that we could take out of this song about how kids become like their parents and all that. But notice that one of those last lines where he says, I've long since retired and my son's moved away. I called him up just the other day. I said, I'd like to see if you don't mind. He said, I'd love to, Dad, if I could find the time. If I could find the time. How many of you ever said that? I learned a long time ago when my kids were little. I read something somewhere, went to a seminar talking about parenting. And it made the point of just when your kids want you, just put everything down and spend some time with your kids. And I learned to do that when they were little. Because a lot of times I just wanted your attention for just a couple seconds. And then I could go back to reading or whatever I was doing. But just to give them those few moments is so very important. And how many kids never have that happen in their lives? They're told, listen, wait a minute, another time, we'll do this later. Maybe you've heard the song, but as Paul Harvey would say, here's the rest of the story. Harry Chapin's wife, Sandy, wrote the words to that song after their son Josh was born. It became a self-fulfilling prophecy. When their son was 7, Harry was performing about 200 concerts a year, and Sandy asked him when he was going to take some time to come home and be with his son. He promised to make some time at the end of the summer, but he never made it. That summer, folk rock singer, composer Harry Chapin, known for his fundraising work to fight world hunger, was killed in a fiery auto accident when a truck hit Harry's Volkswagen Rabbit and he was killed. He was 38 years young. See, the good news today is that God has not left us on our own to try to figure this thing out about how we spend our time and how we live our days out on the earth to be fruitful and whatever. He's given us specific advice and the best way to have wisdom in managing our time. And so that's what we're going to talk about today. And the title of this message is, This is the Day. This is the day. Let's pray. Father, this is the day that you have made, and we're going to rejoice and be glad in it. That's our choice, to rejoice, because, Lord, today is a gift that you've given us, and we thank you. Lord, there's a mystery today. We don't know what's going to happen as we move on toward the end of this day, but, Father, you do. And you have a plan for our lives, and it's best that we find it. And I pray that we all will today in Christ's name. Amen. So this is the day. Now, the key takeaway as we get started, give you this right from the beginning. The most valuable use of your time is spending most of your time on what is most valuable. Okay? The most valuable use of your time is spending most of your time on what is most valuable. I'm going to use the four letters of the word time, T-I-M-E, to form as the outline of this message. So with T, I want to talk about treasure your time because every day is a gift from God. Treasure your time. A.W. Tozer wrote, "Time is a resource that is non-renewable and non-transferable. You cannot store it, slow it up, hold it up, divide it up, or give it up. You can't hoard it or save it for a rainy day. When it's lost, it's unrecoverable. When you kill time, remember that time has no resurrection. To realize the value of 1 year, ask a student who's failed a grade. To realize the value of 1 month, ask a mother who's given a birth prematurely. To how valuable is 1 hour, ask the businessman whose flight was delayed by 1 hour and he missed an important business meeting. How valuable is 1 minute, ask the guy who had a heart attack at a restaurant where an EMT just happened to be sitting at the next table and CPR saved his life. How valuable is 1 second? Ask the Olympic athlete that misqualifying by 0.6 seconds. Time is to be treasured. Listen to what the psalmist wrote. I've already mentioned it in my prayer, but it's from Psalm 118, verse 24. It says, "This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." I want you to notice three things about treasuring our time that comes from this. The psalmist begins by saying, "This is the day the Lord has made." Now, interestingly, the word made is the same word that's used throughout the first two chapters of Genesis to describe how God made the world. When God created space, he also created time. And just as God created a world for us to live in, he created time for us to live in it. In other words, every single day that we live is a God-given gift. Every day has 24 hours. Rich people don't get 25. Poor people don't get 23. We all get the same amount of time. And the fact is, you may not have all the time you need to do what you want to do, but I promise you that God will give us all the time that we need to do what we should do. In fact, Jesus only lived to be 33 years old before he was crucified. But in John 17:4, he said, "I have finished the work which you have given me to do." He's talking to God the Father. He said, "I've finished. I've done what you've called me to do." So treasure every moment that you have today. Yesterday is history. Tomorrow is a mystery. Today is a gift. That's why they call it the present. And every time you get a present, you should be what? You should be thankful, okay? So treasure every day because it's a gift from God. Secondly, treasure your time by spending each day usefully, okay? Spend it thankfully and spend it usefully. Look at the first half of this verse again and listen to the two verbs I'm going to emphasize. This is the day the Lord has made. He's not talking about yesterday. That verse doesn't say that was the day the Lord did make. He's not talking about tomorrow. It doesn't say this will be the day the Lord will make. Because you can't enjoy yesterday. It's a memory now. You can't enjoy tomorrow. It's a possibility. But the psalmist is talking about today. We can only enjoy today. You know, we talk about saving time or making time or borrowing time. We can't do any of those things with time. The time you waste today is gone forever. The time you don't use today cannot be carried over till tomorrow. In a game, you can call time out, but you can't do that in life. I remember a few years ago, I was talking with my mom, and it happened to be on an anniversary with my dad died, and he died when I was young. And I remember my mom saying something like, "You know, it took me many, many years to get over that because it was sudden. He was dead. My mom was left with 5 kids. I was the oldest. I was 9. And so the point about that is, you know, we talked about the fact, you know, you can't call a timeout. Timeout, God. You know, this tragedy has happened in my life. We got to get things figured out before we can live again. That doesn't happen that way, you know. The clock is always running. It never stops. Time only knows one direction, and that's it, forward. And you can put money in the bank, but you can't put time in the bank. You can't stretch time. You can't put 61 minutes in an hour or 25 hours in a day. When the railroads were built and we left the agricultural age and moved into the industrial age, we began to realize that time was money. The idea of making workers more efficient and more productive and making every second count was the order of the day. Think of how much we multitask. You know, none of us just drive anymore. You know, most people drive and eat. You know, I've seen some ladies drive and be putting their makeup on. You shouldn't drive and text or any of those things. We drive and talk on the phone. There's a lot of things that we do. And now, you know, they're coming up with cars that drive themselves. So you can even do all of that stuff without having to worry about driving. Many businesses are now open 24 hours a day. They just want to be very proficient and get a lot done. I remember when I was a kid, I would just go outside and play with other kids. Today, parents make play dates for their kids. And the good news about all of that and some of the changes that we've made is I think we all have a desire to make the best use of our time. You know, and so the Lord has made this day, so we should approach it thankfully, we should spend it usefully, and thirdly, we should treasure our time by living each day joyfully. Notice the second half of that verse, let us rejoice and be glad in it. You know, that's not a command necessarily, but the psalmist saying, listen, hey, let's be glad in this day that God's given us. In other words, don't let the bad things that happen each day take away the joy from all the good things. We sing a song quite often that I love called Goodness of God. And one of the verses says, from the moment that I wake up till I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God. That's talking about being joyful, that all that God does is good. From the moment I wake up, I have a choice as to whether I'm going to enjoy the day or not. No matter what else is going on in my life today, I can rejoice that God loves me. I can rejoice that God is for me and not against me. I can rejoice that God will work everything out of my life for His good and for my benefit. I can rejoice that I'm forgiven. I have eternal life. I can rejoice that I have this next day to live. And I can thank God and praise God and love God and worship God and most of all serve God. So this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So T, treasure your time because every day is a gift from God. I, invest your time wisely because today is the day the Lord has made. Today's the day. So we've got can't think about investing tomorrow, but we've got to start today. And we use a lot of phrases with time that aren't possible. We talk about, you know, you can't buy more time, you can't find more time, you can't make more time, you can only invest the time that you have. Time is more valuable than money. It's different from money, though, because while money can be saved, time can. If you don't lose it, you lose it. Another old rocker in the early 70s, Jim Croce, wrote a song that said, if I could save time in a bottle, the first thing I'd like to do is to save every day till eternity passes away just to spend them with you. Now, that's really, you know, cool little romantic lyrics. It'd be nice if we could save time like that, but we can't. In fact, a few months after he wrote that song, he was tragically killed in a plane crash at Nacogdoches, Louisiana at the age of 30. Young man, you can't save time. There are 168 hours in each week, and what are you investing in those hours? Well, in case you haven't figured that out, let me give you a couple of time investment tips. Number one, investing small amounts of time over time is cumulative. It adds up. If you exercise 30 minutes a day, 4 days a week, week after week, year after year, it's cumulative, adds up to something. You're going to be in better health. If you have a family and you eat dinner at home together 3 or 4 nights a week, week after week, year after year, that time is going to add up. You're going to have a lifetime full of memories of the conversations around the table, the good food that you ate, and those times when your kids get older and they make one of the meals. It adds up. If you eat right, day after day, week after week, you know, month after month, year after year, that's going to benefit your health. If you save money and invest it month after month, it will add up. It will become cumulative. And, you know, if you're saving, doing that for retirement, you know, that those interest rates will kick in. If you have prayer and Bible reading every day, week after week, it's cumulative. It adds up. It's life-changing. The second tip here about investment with your time is neglect is cumulative as well. You know, I just mentioned about investing small amounts, you know, in a positive way. But if you, you know, just negate those small things in a negative way, it'll be easy to do that because you're busy. You don't have, you skip eating right that day, or you don't go to the gym, or, you know, you don't read your Bible and pray. Small deposits over the course of time make a difference, but so does neglecting those small deposits. When we choose to neglect what's easy, it's costly. If you think investing in retirement is too much, then try getting older and not having enough money to live on. If you think investing time with your family is too consuming, see what happens when your child, you know, has trouble, you know, when they're just really crying out for your attention, but you've avoided them all these years. If you think investing in your spiritual health is too costly, you know, what are you going to do when a crisis comes in your life and you don't feel close to God because you've been neglecting Him? And you call out to Him, I'm going to tell you, He's there, He loves you, but you won't feel the closest that you could if you did those small things. So neglect is easy, but it's costly. The third tip I want to give you is random has no cumulative value. Random. Depositing 30 minutes of exercise day after day, year after year has value, but doing it haphazard has little value. If you think, well, I've missed, I'm going to really jump into it. You know, it's the time of year where I see new people at the Y where I go because they're making a commitment to this new year to start exercising. Listen, you can't just jump in there and do 6 hours of exercise and do everything you can in one day and think that's going to catch you right back up. No, you're going to be sore. Then you're not going to be able to come back again for a while, and then you might give it up altogether. Consistent devotional family time adds up, but doing things randomly don't add up. You know, just being sporadic and doing things, you know, here and there, you know, it's good that you do it, but there needs to be consistency. And here's the last tip, and then I'll tie it together. In the area that matters most, you can't make up for misspent time. Okay? Or let me say it like this, you can't pull an all-nighter to catch up. If you have a family and you're the type of person that's on the go, work, 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 busy, 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 and you wake up one day and you realize the kids are almost grown up and you hardly ever spend any time together, you know, you've not been there for key moments in their life, and you think you're going to make up for this, we're going to cram a bunch of time together. Let me tell you, you can't say, hey kids, this morning we're going to have breakfast together and hang out all day and catch up and make some great memories for what we've missed. It won't happen. Your kids will be upset with you, especially if they're teenagers at this time. You know, they're going to try to be sneaking, you know, looks on their phone underneath the, whatever, I'm telling you. And then have you ever heard this excuse? Some dads or moms will say, well, I don't spend much time with my family, but the little time I do spend is quality time. Well, let me tell you how kids spell quality. It's quantity. That's how they spell quality, just lots of time. It's like talking about quality money. If I offered you an old $100 bill, would you say, no, it's wrinkled? I'd rather have that crisp new $5 bill. See, I don't think we would say things like that. We'd want the $100 bill even if it's wrinkled. At a graduation commencement at Wheaton College, Billy Graham's alma mater, one time he said this, time is the capital that God has given us to invest. People are the stocks in which we are to invest our time, whether they're blue chips, penny stocks, or even junk bonds. And if you need an interpretation, Billy Graham says people. That's where we invest the majority of our time, whether they are, you know, people that they're high up on our list of who we love and care for, whether it's just everyday people that we see, or whether it's people that are down and out. We invest in people. There's no substitute for investing most of your time in what is most valuable. So treasure your time because every day is a gift from God. Invest your time wisely because today is the day the Lord has made. And the next letter in the family time is M. Manage your time because your time on earth is limited. Your time on earth is limited. When you're young, you don't believe that, but you get older, you know it's true. There's an entire field of study called time management. In almost every business in America, consultants are hired to teach business executives how to better manage their time. Time management is a hot topic. In his book, Seven Habits of Highly Effective People, Stephen Covey writes, time management is a misleading concept. You can't really manage time. You can't delay it, speed it up, save it, or lose it. No matter what you do, time keeps moving forward. The challenge, he says, is not to manage time, but to manage ourselves. And that's exactly true. Instead of managing our time, the Bible speaks about redeeming the time. This is a much better idea. Paul writes about this in Ephesians chapter 5. He says, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. The King James says, redeem the time because the days are evil, which is, and NIV says, make the most of every opportunity to redeem it. The Amplified Version really expands this a bit, so let me read these two verses from that version. Therefore, see that you walk carefully, living life with honor, purpose, and courage, shunning those who tolerate and enable evil, not as the unwise, but as wise, sensible, intelligent, discerning people, making the most, very most of your time on earth, recognizing and take advantage of each opportunity and using it with wisdom and diligence because the days are filled with evil. A time management expert was teaching one of these seminars to these executives, and he took out a large open-mouth glass jar and put it in front of the group. Then he put 7 or 8 large rocks inside of them, and he asked, is the jar full? And everybody says, yeah, it's full, you know, because couldn't get any more large rocks in there. Then he took some small rocks or pebbles, and he began to pour them in till they filled the top. And he said, hey, is it full? And people are a little bit not so, you know, quick to answer because you know, they were wrong the first time. Then he said, no, it's not full. Then he took sand, fine sand, and dumped that in. And that filled in between the rocks and the pebbles. And he said, is it full? And some of them began to say, well, yeah, maybe it is. And then he took a pitcher of water and filled it all the way to the top. So with the large rocks, the pebbles, the sand, the water, it was now full. And so he asked the question. He says, what's the lesson about time management from this illustration? And a bunch of hands shot up and they said, no matter how busy you are, you can always fit more things into your schedule. And he said, wrong. That's not right. He said, the lesson is that unless you put the big rocks in first, they will never get in there. And he said, you've got to figure out what the big rocks are in your life. And Christian, we've got to figure out what they are in our life. You know, it should be our time with God, should be our devotion to God. It should be our family, our kids, you know. Of course, our job gets in there somewhere. But you know, if you don't put the big rocks in first, you'll never get those in there because your life will get filled up with the other stuff. Then the closing statement about that, if you don't manage your time, someone else will manage it for you. So treasure your time, invest your time, manage your time. And finally, the last letter in time is E. Enjoy your time because that is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. We talked about, you know, this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice. You know, I will have joy in it. We talked about that a little bit. I want to expand on it here in the closing point. You know, there's always going to be something else to do. There's always be somewhere else for us to go. But if we are going to enjoy our time, we got to learn the power of that little two-letter word, no. And I'm going to say that directly to Christians. I'm a pastor, and I'm always needing, you know, help with the church. We always need new volunteers and new help and people on work days and people on big events like, you know, VBS and, you know, Christmas things or whatever doing, you know. But Christians are probably more guilty than people that love God of saying yes to everything that comes down. And sometimes they say it so much that they sacrifice time with their family. They sacrifice their intimate time with God. And as a pastor, I'm guilty of that. I like to be busy. I like to do things. But my Bible study time can't just be for preparing a message. It's got to be for my personal growth and well-being. You know, my prayer time just can't be for all these things I need God to help me with. They just need to be so that I can be connecting with God and have intimacy with Him. And so we need to understand that when we say yes to God and yes to family and yes to the right things, we're automatically saying no to something else. And that's okay, as long as we get those big rocks in first. Now, nobody on their deathbed that I know of, and I've been around a lot of them, never said, I wish I spent more time at work. You know, I wish I watched more TV. You know, I wish I spent more time golfing with my buddies or anything like that. No one has ever said that. Now, here's why I don't think people enjoy every day like they should. We're overloaded. Overload comes when we have too much activity in our lives. The solution is to put some margin into our life. Margin is breathing room. Margin is the space between your load and your limit. Someone said margin is having breath at the top of the staircase, money at the end of the month, and sanity left over at the end of the day. On the other hand, being marginless is being 30 minutes late to the doctor's office because you were 20 minutes late getting out of the hairdresser's, because you were 10 minutes late dropping the kids off from school, because something unexpected happens that caused all that thing to happen down the street because you didn't, you know, have a little bit of time with margin. Marginless is not having time to finish the book you're reading on stress. You're stressed out and you really need to read that book, but you can't. See, when we're overloaded by activity, we think of ourselves. We think of our schedule. We think if we got to do this, we got to do that. We end up being in survival mode to get from one thing to the next. You know, a new recent term we've had, a soccer mom. You know, that's the mom that's always hauling kids, you know, to this soccer practice, that recital, you know, that rehearsal, this, that, that. They're just on the go. And then in the middle of all that, they might have a job or they've got to fix family, whatever. And they're just trying to make it through a day. And when you have no margin of life and God comes and taps you on the shoulder and says, listen, I've got something for you to do. I've got a ministry I want you involved in. And the first response that we have of that is not joy. Hallelujah. God wants to use me. If we're living this overloaded life, you know what our first reaction to that is? God, I'm too busy. I can't do it. There'll be no joy in if and I do. See, friends, we don't have to live like that. Psalm 91:1 says, whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. The Hebrew word for dwell means to sit down, to remain, or to settle down. So the very first thing that God wants you to do is to enjoy His rest. And when we learn how to enjoy His rest and have that margin in our life to just, you know, enjoy what God has given us in every day, you know, His protection will be with us. His peace will be with us. We'll sense and feel His love. And all these other blessings, I promise you, will flow into your life. The Bible says that we are seated with Christ in heavenly places at God's right hand. The word seated is beautiful. You know, it means that we're no longer standing or working, rushing or stressing. You remember the story about Mary and Martha, Lazarus's sisters? Jesus went to visit. Martha's busy, trying to prepare the meal and get the house looking right and all of that stuff, take care of Jesus' disciples. And Mary, what is she doing? She's just sitting at the feet of Jesus. And Mary, when Mary talks to God about this, you know, He doesn't really get upset with her, but He just says, Martha, of the important things in life, Mary's found it. And you need to learn how to find it. I'm paraphrasing that. But we have examples in the Bible of the distinction between having margin and having worship and honoring God and just living the busy life. So let me wrap this up with a story and a couple closing comments. Gary Freeman tells about a girl who went to college and she hated it. But she told herself, if I can ever get out of college and get married and have children, I'll know and be able to enjoy life. You know, that's what she thought would help her to be joyful. So she stuck with it. She went to classes every day and finally graduated from college. Then she got married and had children, discovered that children are a lot of work. She told herself, I can just get these kids raised and I'll be able to relax and enjoy life. But about the time the kids were entering high school, her husband said, guess what? We don't have enough money to send our kids to college. I think you need to get a job. Well, she didn't want to, but she knew he was right and they needed the money. So she went to work and she hated it. But she told herself, if I can just get these kids out of college and we get all these bills paid, then I can quit work and really enjoy life. Finally, the last child graduated from college. All the bills were paid. So she walked into her employer's office and said, listen, I'm done. Today's my last day. And he said, you don't want to do that quite now. He said, if you stay with us for just another 8 years, you can retire and have a full pension and have all the money you need in your retirement. She thought, well, I don't want to work another 8 years, but here is all that money there, and I really can't turn down the opportunity. So she forked for another 8 years. Finally, she and her husband retired at the same time. They sold their home, and they bought a little retirement cottage someplace that they really enjoyed. And then they sat down on the swing on their front porch and looked at the family picture album and dreamed about the good old days. That's so true, isn't it? See, we have a bank called time, and every day we are credited with 86,400 seconds. Time doesn't allow overdraft. There's no going back for a second chance. Time, T-I-M-E, treasure it, invest it, manage it, enjoy it. God wants you to have the full value out of every day that He gives us. He wants you to get the biggest bang for the buck in every minute of every day. The most valuable use of your time is spending most of your time on what is most valuable. So here's the question. Where do you need to begin making consistent deposits of time so that you know you're treasuring, investing, and managing the time that God's given you? Will you be able to enjoy each day with the choices you're making? You get to the end of each day, and because of the choice, you can rejoice and you can be glad in this day, because I tell you, if you make the right choices, you can. If you have the right priorities, you can. So I'm asking everybody right now in the stage of life, you might be in school, you might be in college, you might be a young adult just starting out in the work world and finding your place in this world. You might be a grandparent, you might be someone with a new job, or you might be parents raising young kids. What area or areas do you need to begin making consistent deposits of time so that you can get to this final conclusion that you can say every day, this is the day the Lord has made, and I rejoice and I'm glad in it. Father, I thank You for this day. I truly do. I thank You for all the days, Lord, of my life. I thank You for the prospect of good things ahead, but yet I don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. Father, nobody does. We don't. So, Lord, it's incumbent upon us to enjoy today. Lord, to make the right choices today for ourselves and for our family and all those that, Lord, that we affect. Lord, I pray right now at the beginning of this new year, if there's anybody that's heard this message that needs to make changes, Father, that they have the boldness and the tenacity, that they'll have the trust in you. God, they may not know exactly how to make it, but God, they can talk to you about it and you'll help them make those choices. And Father, you will redeem the time. If we just start right now, we might have maybe been so busy neglecting our family, neglecting our prayer time, neglecting our responsibility as a child of God. Whatever it is, God, we can begin to redeem the time right now by beginning today, making those choices that will show that we value this time, that we're investing rightly, that we're managing it as the way that we should so that we can enjoy it. Father, I just commit ourselves to you today in the use of our time in this next year. In Jesus' glorious name, amen. God bless you.